In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And I came from the Father and have come into the world, but now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Jesus said to them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Thus far our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus in the gospel lesson for this day gives us a glimpse of what is to come. It's been a long time since Easter, but just as we were lamenting, fasting, and repenting for the 40 days of Lent, so we rejoice in the resurrection for the 40 days of Easter. Jesus, for the past 40 days, has been about the business of training and preparing the apostles to go to the ends of the earth to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. This portion of John's Gospel read this day actually does not occur after the resurrection, but in fact is part of a long teaching from Christ with his disciples just before his passion. We have it this sixth Sunday of Easter because in this teaching we learn of what is to come. Specifically, Jesus takes time to teach about his ascension to heaven. He says, "I came from the Father and have come into the world, but now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." For the past 33 years, Jesus has walked about as true man. Our holy, eternal, infinite God loved his creation so much that he took on the form of man and entered our material and finite world. So for the past 33 years, Jesus ate and he drank. He slept when he got sleepy. He bathed when he got dirty. And he felt pain when he was struck. This world doesn't sound all that great in comparison to heaven. But Jesus came into the muck and the mire of this world so to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. He was sent to this world for a specific mission, to die as a substitute for sin, to die in your place for the sins that you commit. And now, in the glorious resurrection, Jesus proclaims mission complete. Jesus is now returning to the Father. He will no longer be among his people externally. He no longer requires sleep when he is tired. He no longer has to eat when he is hungry. But most importantly, he no longer has to bleed for the sins that you commit. Atonement has been made for all the sins you will ever commit. Jesus departs this physical life, which you and I are still living, and goes to another heavenly world. But the event of our Lord's departure from this world is not bad news for us. In fact, Jesus himself told the apostles, he said, "I will not leave you as orphans," and promised that a helper will come after him. This helper, he said, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said. So it is actually to our advantage that Jesus goes back to the Father. For after him comes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does nothing other than to point to Christ and his work. So the Holy Spirit is here teaching you about Jesus in the Word, and comforting you with the forgiveness of sins. This, by the way, is the measure of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always be pointing to Jesus and what He did. So if you hear someone who claims powers of the Holy Spirit, but isn't pointing to Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of sins, you can be assured that it is not the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spends much of His time talking to the apostles about what is to come in tribulation. In fact, this discourse of Jesus talking to the apostles takes up chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John. And almost half of that entire discourse is talking about hardships, struggles, tribulations, and crosses. With the luxury of hindsight over the past 2,000 years, we know that what Jesus says is true. For the past two millennia, there has been no shortage of suffering in the world, and especially tribulation and persecution to Christians. Nearly all of the apostles whom Jesus is talking to at this moment will end up giving up their lives for the sake of the gospel. But this tribulation is no stranger to us as well. For who among us doesn't know about the crosses of this world? In this world, we are given crosses to bear according to our vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocatio, which means call. When we think of vocation, we oftentimes think of the jobs which we serve. So if you're a fireman, a doctor, a grocery store clerk, or a janitor, or whatever else, this is your vocation. Well, that's true, but in the Christian sense of the word, it goes beyond the job that you work. When you think of vocation, think in terms of the station in which God has placed you to serve your neighbor. So, as a doctor, you serve your patients, but as a husband, you also serve your wife. As a citizen, you serve the good of the city or country. And as a member of Trinity, you serve the church and the proclamation of the gospel. As a child, you serve your parents and other siblings. And among these many vocations, there is one in particular that we honor this day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here today. It's been said that parenthood is the highest of God's callings, for in it you learn of life, you learn of true love, you learn of selflessness, devotion, and true service. This kind of service you oftentimes don't get credit for. But parents continue in the service, not for the sake of getting credit, but for the sake of serving their children. We are given crosses in the context of our vocations. Mothers bear the cross that comes with motherhood. And if you need proof of this, ask my mother. It's not so easy to serve your neighbor when you have to change diapers in the middle of the night or when you're downright exhausted for the work that's left to do. Ever since the fall of man, God said that it would be work to serve your neighbor. To Eve, He said, "In pain you shall bring forth children." And to Adam, He said, "You will toil all the days of your life." Ever since the fall, our vocation of serving our neighbors have not been easy. We have to fight our old Adam, which wants to turn in on itself and be lazy. But in addition to the hardships that arise in serving our neighbor, there are many other tribulations in this world. Perhaps you desire the vocation of parenthood, and the Lord has not yet granted it. Or what of the crosses of health problems? Or the pain and struggles of widowhood? There are many tribulations we can add to the list. Depression, loneliness, mental illness. No matter the tribulation, they all come back to the same root. That is sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, nothing would ever be the same again. From then on, not only would serving your neighbor be burdensome, but we would have to deal with pain and disease. From then on, our bodies don't always work quite right. The world around us is unstable. We even have to contend with death. And this is what sin has done to the world. And this is what Jesus means when he says, "In this world, you will have tribulation." So long as we live in this world, we are constantly reminded of the sin in which we are born into. And for this, we repent. We repent of our sinful nature. The worst thing that we can do in the face of struggle and tribulations would be to deny our sinful nature. The last thing we would want to say is, "This is how God made me." As if God had made us sinners. As if God delights in our struggles or rejoices in our hardships. God did not make us like this. Our sin did this. While God is not at fault for this fallen state of ours, he certainly took the fall for it. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." God was not content with these lives of suffering with which we have. God took all the sin and all the suffering upon himself on the cross. In the death of Jesus, we see the full measure of the world's tribulations. We see what sin really does. Christ let sin have its way with him so it would not have its way with us. Yes, we tarry through this life amid suffering and pain and even death. But that's the worst that sin can do. For when sin was placed upon Jesus, it killed him. But it could not keep him dead. He's risen. He's risen indeed. The empty tomb shows us that sin can do no more than kill us. But for we who are baptized into Christ, we will rise just like in a resurrection with Jesus. Sin cannot keep us dead either. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And so, dear saints, Christ says to you this day, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." In the midst of all this talk about pain and suffering, Jesus takes the time to talk about something that makes us a little uncomfortable. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." This makes us a little uncomfortable because immediately we want to ask the question, "You mean anything? So I can ask for a brand new car?" And we know that God doesn't guarantee it. But if we're asking that question, perhaps we've already missed the point. Keep in mind the context of which Jesus is saying this. He has just spent 3 chapters telling the disciples that they will be hated by the world. They'll be persecuted because of him, and the life they now live is a life of suffering, that even their family and friends will betray them. Is it likely then for the disciples to ask, "I can ask for anything? A brand new chariot?" Jesus issues this promise in the midst of tribulation and persecution. So go ahead. You who are suffering, what do you want? You who are in pain, who mourn the death of loved ones, whose health is declining, what do you want? What do you pray for? You want it to stop. You want the pain to go away. You want the effects of sin to be done away with. Ask and you will receive, Jesus says, that your joy may be full. God gives this to you and more, that he sent his only begotten Son to take away the sin of the world, so that in him our joy may be full, that anything you could ever want, anything that you could ever pray for, you have in the resurrection of the dead. It is a present reality for even us now. We have God's promise of these things, that our joy will be full. You see, what Jesus is teaching to us is that the Christian life is a life of the cross. Amid this life of the cross, Jesus entreats us to pray, that we make our complaints, our hardships, and our struggles known to God. Prayer is a wonderful expression of faith. To pray is to say that you trust in God to care for these concerns of yours. The answer to prayer that God gives us is found in the gospel, in Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. With this comes a promise that these trials are not the end, but the end is a life free from all sin in God's holy presence. And when our faith clings to this very promise, we are full of joy. Our joy is all filled up. It's the joy in the promise of the gospel. And so, fellow bearers of the cross, it's true. We tarry in this life. We continue to endure pains and sufferings of this world. But we are not alone in this struggle. God is with us in the very midst of our suffering with his promises that the end is nearly over. This lesson is taught to us in the prayer by Martin Luther. Dear God, I am your creature. You have sent me a cross and suffering and say to me, suffer a little for my sake, and I will reward you well. Dear God, because it is your will, I will gladly suffer. Dear saints, it's true that in this world there is a lot to endure. There's no shortage of tribulation or suffering or sadness or hardship. Jesus made this clear. But what he promised to us was that he has overcome the world's tribulation, so that we could have complete peace and joy. O Lord, grant our faith to cling to this promise now and forevermore. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.